You're listening to Comedy Central.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction. We'll start the podcast in a second. Just know that I'm a little bit pissed off. If you can believe that. You ready?
Welcome to episode 39 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Junior Vice President.
We're fucking live, dickheads.
Here we are at Clusterfest in San Francisco. Anthony, our friendship's taken us to a lot of different places. Did you ever think it would take us on stage together?
Yeah. I knew this was coming from the very beginning. I wonder how many, are people really going to come and see a live podcast? Like, I would never do this. I would never do what you guys are doing now. And I was like, I wonder if they're even fans of the podcast, or they're just like, we want to sit down for a little bit. And I thought, when we whisper JRVP, if the crowd is like, JRVP, then I'll know that it's like, oh, these guys are fans, and none of you did it. Not a single person. There's a ridiculous amount of smoke in the air.
I can't see anything. I can't see a single person out
for
there.
For some reason, I understand. Like, I've been in television enough to know that they do this to make it look good. I think that's what they say, but it always just looks like there's a fire. Like, occasionally you'll see a comedy special or something where you're just like, what's burning? Why would they do this? And this is, again, we don't need this at all for this. I don't know if they're filming it. We're definitely recording. I'm not a big fan of festivals in general. I do them a lot. You know what I mean? I'm in demand. But like, I showed up today, Greg and I pull up in the car, and they've got like a special section for us to pull up in. We're in like an official car of Clusterfest. And I get out, and this girl's like, and you are? I'm
she knew
the
me,
fucking
though.
Reason. That this fest has been clustered. They give us passes. I gotta wear a wristband. Like, excuse me, do you have a pass? This is my pass. You should all know who I am. Greg and Erica, you're on your own. Are you texting someone?
Yeah. Sorry.
Really, what are you doing right now? Are you putting us up on IG or?
Well, there's an app. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's pretty cool. I just want to keep going. Just, you know.
This is pretty much the normal podcast dynamic, which is Erica's barely paying attention to us.
You came here for the weekend. You have literally 1 hour where you have to do something.
You brought like 5 friends who are backstage. Hi.
Yeah. You know, life of a rock star, Anthony.
Yeah, I see your pants. It's fun. These guys were worried. They're a little bit nervous. They've never done like a real live podcast. Like, Greg has his own podcast, but it's not like a, you know, it's not like this.
It's a very successful podcast. We've done shows internationally in London. You always try to dismiss us.
What's it called?
The Around the NFL podcast.
Have you guys ever heard of that bullshit?
There we go. There we go.
I tried to listen to it once. It was impossible. But this is great. Usually we have like a piece of paper in front of us that tells us what we have to talk about and what we have to do. This time, honestly, I've got a lot of things after this that I'm more focused on.
Well, I think you might be struggling a little because last night, in typical Jeselnik style, he wanted us to have like the best, most rock star time possible on a night before the festival. And I don't need to, maybe you want to go into some of that, but the thing I'll remember best is with the elevator door closing, you just saying, this is how we do festivals, Jeselnik style. I'm like, no one else is here listening to you right now, just me.
I don't remember saying that, but I believe it. Here's what I like to do, right? I'm on the road a lot. I get into town the night before. These guys got to kind of like live my life with me for a day. We get in the night before, we have dinner, and we light it the fuck up. Pre-drinks, wine, a very nice bottle of wine, cocktails, after-dinner drinks, one last glass of wine in front of the fireplace before we went to bed together. It's how I like to do things. I like to come in early so I know everything's cool. You know what I mean? I wouldn't come in today and do this. What if my flight's delayed? Everyone's disappointed. Get in the night before and light yourself up.
You also convinced Erica during the dinner that the Museum of Ice Cream was originally a Holocaust museum.
It took me so long to realize you were kidding.
But they had to rebrand it to get more people in the building.
Yeah. I said it just offhand, like, there's no way you're going to believe this. This is me being silly. I was like, yeah, it was a Holocaust museum, but no one was going, so they just renamed it. But it's still very much a Holocaust museum. And at the end, they're like, here's your cone. And Erica somehow was like, mm-hmm. Anthony would never lie to me.
I don't know.
What? You should know.
I wasn't even listening to you.
You were. No. You were like, oh my God, they did that?
And like, while I tried to bring up, okay, maybe these are some headlines we'll go over, Anthony just didn't really want to listen to it and would just say, us bombing would be hilarious. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, that wouldn't be.
Like us just like trying to fill an hour desperately would be really funny to me. I haven't planned anything that I've said so far, but we have some sort of schedule.
I think this was the part you wanted to just rant about how unhappy you're being treated here today in general.
I've already done that. I've already talked about the person not knowing who I am, which is ridiculous at this point. I'm always annoyed. And then having to wear a wristband when, again, this festival, everything around you would not be here without me.
Is there any concern after our episode, two episodes ago now, that mixing, like drinking, granted it's the night before, and this podcast might be troublesome?
Yeah, people were upset that I got, that I was very drunk a couple episodes ago, but not me. You know what I mean? So I'm okay with it. And like, I woke up today with a bit of a headache, a little hungover, and I was like, I'm going to drink a beer to get myself back. Took like two sips and was like, nope, this is a mistake. I'm going to go back to water. But it's been a fun time so far. I've got a lot to do today, and everything that I have to do is more important than this. But I hope you guys enjoy the podcast and people listening to it. I mean, there's what, like 5,000 people in this room right now?
Woo!
And there's hundreds of thousands of people listening to this podcast. So you guys, in the grand scheme of things, aren't that important. Like, it's more about the audible experience and not actually seeing us do this.
Now that we're...
Even though you should be grateful.
Now that we're here kind of at the end of this season one together, we're hoping to have a season two of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Chair VP.
Junior Vice President.
Yeah, you guys have never heard this podcast before? You were like, we just want to see Anthony.
It's tricky to like get an entire room to whisper at the same time.
It's not. It's not difficult to get them to do that. They just, what?
That's coming next.
Hey, I don't need prompts. We've done almost 40 episodes of this. I've got it down.
So how? What's your view overall on this season? On how it affected our friendship? I would say first of all,
it definitely put a strain on it. You know, one of the reasons I do the podcast is to be able to kind of like keep one foot in the real world. Like, what is that beeping? Is that like how well we're doing? If it's a smoke alarm, that would be the funniest shit ever. No, I would say it's been good. It gives us, every week we have to talk and hang out. I get to see the God Kids a little more than I normally would, which is nice.
Have you?
But also, like, I have to, like...
I feel like you've seen them less because you feel like I've seen Greg enough. I don't want to double down and do it twice with his kids.
I'm mostly talking about pictures.
Yeah.
That you'll send me. But they know. They know I'm looking at them. But I just feel like I'm financially responsible for you and your family now. And that's been a strain. Like, if I was like, I don't want to do a season two, Greg has to sell his car.
I've been making it 39 years without any financial assistance from you, except
I know, but now that you've tasted the good life.
Right. I was going to say, except for that Nespresso machine you once sent drunk from Australia to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
I get nice gifts for people when I'm wasted. Now it's time for, did we get any notes?
Well, these are not fans of the podcast. This is not going to go over the way I wanted it to. But here we go.
That was a great setup for what's about to happen.
All right, so I'm 5'2 with the brunette hairdo. I got on nice clothes and a sweet pair of shoes. I say all the right things and I got all the right moves. Come on, tell me what you think, because I got nothing to lose.
Oh!
For people who didn't listen to that one episode of the podcast that I barely remember, Erica, when she was 15?
Yeah, 15 through
laid down some rap tracks of her own and then saved them, waiting for the perfect opportunity to spring them on the world. And she's playing them now way too loud, I think.
Any thought that you could have just blessed us live, or you still could?
Maybe. We'll see.
Please don't.
I'm so...
Like, I find nothing charming about this.
I have some thoughts on that, but go on.
What? You don't like anyone else kind of taking the shine for a little bit, which Erica is known kind of to try to do.
Every single podcast she tries to make about herself. And no one cares about her. Like, if Erica didn't walk out on stage right now and it was someone else completely, no one would know. Like, tell me I'm wrong. Her name is not in the title. You've never seen her before, but she sends me video links every week being like, can I post this? And I say, like, a thing about her on the podcast. And I say, no. You can't.
I do I'll ask for like a social video I can put up on Twitter or Instagram, and inevitably it's Erica making a joke and us laughing at her. I'm like, I can't put this up.
Yeah. When we do the podcast at Comedy Central, we have those cameras they have. They had a camera on me and a camera on Greg. And then one day I was like, you know, we should put a camera on Erica too. Biggest mistake I've ever made in my life.
Sorry. Now I'm starting to feel bad. How do you do this?
You should. Your show, episode one, go back and listen. Boring. And then what did I do? I was like, oh, let's add in a corner. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's talk about your friendships. I don't want to hear about, we want to hear you killing a dead horse or whatever. You know?
Everything you said was wrong.
No.
Like every single word was incorrect.
So did we get any notes? I feel like the first podcast we did over at the NFL, the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project,
RJVP.
Kind of the subtext of it was, can Anthony get me fired from the NFL?
Yeah.
And I feel like the subtext of this podcast is, can Anthony get himself and all of us fired from Comedy Central?
Yeah,
so, like,
I have.
Where
like
do
a,
we stand?
I have like an overall deal with the network, TV shows, different things, podcasts, and the one thing that keeps me like constantly on the edge of unemployment is the podcast, and it's the thing that I make the least amount of money from. Like, I should not be doing this. For multiple reasons, the show's great. Everyone's happy on the TV show. But when I talk about did we get any notes, it's usually on the podcast. But I want to talk about the show. Now that the show is wrapped, the show's over, we got 6 episodes coming out in September. There's going to be a press release on Monday. Wait for that. I'm not allowed to say things. Like, don't tell them who the guests are until we put it out on fucking deadline.com. Like, anyone gives a fuck. You know, I can. I'll name them right now, just to make people mad. Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
It's like,
because by the time this airs, this goes, it gets on the air.
That's fair.
The article will have come out, and the drunk podcast from a couple weeks ago. I named almost all the names.
Keep in mind, Emeka, you know, my wife, who you're very close to, really wants to come to this next year. She was not able to, so we have to make it to next year.
Your wife can totally come. Literally anyone could replace Erica.
If we were in the studio, I could cut his mic.
Yeah.
But I don't have control over here, so.
Yeah, I will be paying for all of this later. Here are the guests. We got a great guest list. We got David Spade, who I think is one of the funniest people in the world. We have Tig Notaro, one of the funniest people. Not an easy interview, but a good friend. We have Kristen Shaw, who was a delight, maybe my favorite episode. We have Nick Kroll. Really? Kumail Nanjiani. And Natasha Leggera. Those are the 6 guests. And the show was good, except for the fact, Comedy Central is always like, hey, we're a place where artists can be themselves and do whatever they want. We're not going to get in the way. You can do anything. You know, no one else would have let me hire Erica. That's like their claim to fame. But on the TV show, every single episode, I would try to work in the phrase, slam in the back of my Dragula. And they never let me use it. I don't know if you guys are aware of the Rob Zombie song from 25 years ago. But he digs through the ditches. He burns through the witches. He slams in the back of his Dragula. And I find that to be a hilarious thing to do. And every episode I'd be like, I want to say, like, we'll be right back. I'm going to go slam in the back of my Dragula. Enjoy these commercials. And it wasn't even, the network never heard about this. It was more my entire staff was like, no one will know what you were talking about. Why do you keep bringing this up? You are insane. And so I don't appreciate notes like that.
Mm. Like, how else would you try to, like, work it into, would you work it into interviews with the people?
Sometimes I would be like, you know, what's it like to slam in the back of your Dragula? They wouldn't let me ask that question. But I think you're going to love the TV show. Someone described it, someone who watched the final cut was like, it's elegantly absurd. Which I think is a... And someone was like, ooh. Which is ridiculous. But, you know, it's going to be fantastic. If you guys are willing to sit through this shit for an hour, wait until you see the TV show. You're going to fucking backflips. You're going to have to watch it twice because you're going to miss so much from the backflips you're doing. And that was, did we get any notes? Or am I missing something? It's very possible.
I think that's it, unless you want to, like, dig a little deeper into what's going on with Comedy Central and you right now.
Nope.
Is it such a problem that I'd like to? I've got mad rhymes, cash flowing out my pockets. I can purchase planes, trains, automobiles, and rockets.
Can't get that anywhere else.
I can't believe.
Sell it.
Woo! This is a ridiculously pro-Erica crowd. Like, I didn't know what to expect, but this was the last thing. Greg asked if I wanted to get more into the Comedy Central.
Just because they might be here.
Oh, they're certainly here and certainly listening. Basically, everyone at Comedy Central got really mad at me for like 3 days and then was like, "Nah, that's just Anthony." So it's all good. I didn't really have to do anything or make any amends whatsoever. I just kind of waited them out and then showed up here.
That's pretty much like any relationship with you. That wasn't even a dig.
No, was just that's why like, I was like surprised that they were upset.
That's why we're friends.
Yeah. Like, I'll do horrible things, and then I just wait. And everyone's like, "We'll never forget what you did." But it's kind of been too long to bring it up. So I guess we're cool. We'll see. We'll find out if we get a season two. We're still negotiating, which I like to do live on the air. It's very professional. We're still negotiating, but we'll see. We'll see if we get a season two, then I'm like, everything's cool. It was never a big deal to begin with, which is what I said in the first place. But that was, did we get any notes? Don't play another song.
I wasn't gonna.
We're gonna take it down to a little place on the podcast. Erica Tamposi is our producer. In the beginning, we really liked her. Like, in the beginning, we were like, wow, we're so lucky to have this person with us. Why not? Think about it like this. Like, if you have, like, a dinner party, and you have a child, and you're like, the child's going to come down at some point and try to ruin this dinner party. Why not just let the kid come down in the beginning and, like, sing a song or whatever, and then send them in the room so they feel like they got it out of their system? That's what we've done here, and given Erica a little slice of the podcast for herself that we call Erica's Corner. So, Erica, shine on. Look. Why do you look so mad at me?
Why?
Yeah.
Because you're being mean.
I am mean.
No, slash. You're not. All right, for my corner today, I want you to do a silly dance. I'm just kidding. I know the answer to that. Most times when I bring up Erica's Corner, I'll say it, and Anthony looks at me dead in the face and goes, "No." And that's about all the kind of explanation I get for that. But the best friend tag was really cool last episode, and a best friend tag is something that we like to see who knows more about the other one. It's sort of like the newlywed game, except you guys have been married for 20 years.
Mm. Yeah, Greg and I, if you don't know, we've been best friends for 20 years now?
Shit.
Like,
yeah.
97 to whatever the fuck. Yeah, over 20 years, 22 years. Godfather to both of his kids. Greg is a great father, a great husband, a professional person. I am a goddamn lunatic who makes his living by drinking my way through life. And I smoke a lot of pot. So
originally brought us together, I feel like.
Yes, yes. So my memory is not great, but it's better than Greg's somehow. So we find it fun to do a best friend game. We have to answer questions about each other, and I somehow win, even though I can't remember the end of dinner last night.
Same. I'm not feeling good at all.
You look good.
Thank you.
You look better than Anthony.
Thank you. But don't try to turn this around like all of a sudden you're nice.
Oh, I was being sarcastic.
I can't wait to murder you. Okay. Anthony, who is Greg's hero?
Who's Greg's hero? I'm going to say, first name that popped into my head.
Greg's like, "I don't know my own hero. Let me think about it."
And I bet when I say this name, Greg's going to be like, "You know what? You're right. Peter Gammons."
Stop. Peter Gammons. Ah, that's a pretty good answer. He did.
I
I remember Anthony got me a Peter Gammons bobblehead doll.
Mm-hmm. I had to win it. I had to win it from an ESPN contest.
Which is like one of the nicest things anyone's ever done for me. And you were absolutely furious after I moved to New York, and I think you were visiting or something like that, and you were like, where's that Peter Gammons bobblehead doll? I said, I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Doesn't know.
Peter Gammons, if you're not familiar, was a great reporter with ESPN back in the day. So when I was coming up, yeah, he could have been a hero. I can't come up with really anyone else that would be any better. So I'll give you credit for that.
It's hilarious that you tried to shut it down immediately. Well, and like, then we're like, yeah, you're 100% right.
Like, do you have an answer? Like, does everyone in the crowd have an answer for, like, who their hero is? I don't have an easy
answer.
Who gives
a fuck about these people?
Do you have an answer?
I don't care who your heroes are.
Who's your hero?
Me.
All right, we'll give him that.
Okay, Greg, what is Anthony's biggest fear?
I'm going to go with, like, genuine human connection in a lasting way.
I would have said failure. Like, if he had said failure's your biggest fear, I'd have been like, yeah. But then I remember that I'm doing this podcast. I'm not a huge fan of human connection. But I wouldn't call it a fear. I would just call it something I have to deal with sometimes.
Anthony, what is Greg's favorite part of his body?
These questions are so fucking weird.
So when Greg is looking in the mirror, he's like, damn, like my forearms look really good today.
There's no way he's ever said that.
No.
I'm going to guess the mole on his face. Because if it wasn't his favorite, he would have totally gotten it removed by now. There's no other explanation for why it's there than that it's his favorite part of his body. Am I right?
I'm going to go with my smile, you know.
I was going to say that you would say that.
A smile's not a part of your body.
It's
something your body
you.
Does. You could say your teeth. That's a part of your body, but a smile is not a part of your
either.
Body. What's your favorite part of your body? When I curl my arm. That's not...
Does hair count?
What's your favorite part of your body? When I go to sleep.
Greg, what size shoe does Anthony wear?
11.
11 and a half, bitch. Sometimes 12. These are 12s. Yeah.
Okay, Greg, close your eyes. Anthony, what color are Greg's eyes?
Brown.
Yeah, that's right. Had to think about it.
Okay. I've known the man 22 years. He's the only person that I look at.
What is Anthony's favorite superhero?
Ooh, I'll go Batman, but if not Batman, the Punisher.
Gambit. Greg and I met in New Orleans in college. I literally went to college in New Orleans because I liked Gambit so much. He seemed cool. Made New Orleans seem cool.
Anthony, has Greg ever stolen anything?
Yes. I don't want to get into details.
I want to know.
But listen, well, there was a point in your life where I was legit worried about you. Where every once in a while you hear about a celebrity who goes to the airport and steals like a magazine and a bottle of water and walks out and gets busted and it's embarrassing. There was a period of, I'm going to say, 5 years where Greg did not take a flight without stealing something from one of those airport
stores.
Yeah,
now I remember. You're right.
Yeah.
It's just like a magazine, like a football magazine or something.
I know.
And soda.
But it's like the humiliation of getting caught doing that.
Yeah, why didn't you just pay for it?
I don't know. This is a part of my life I had kind of blocked out and totally forgot about. But yeah, I used to do that as a kid, too. You would go get candy and stuff as, you know, when you were 13 or 14. I don't know. I just wanted attention and love from my parents.
What's the shittiest job Anthony's ever had?
There's a lot of them.
This one?
I'll go with Borders Bookstore in Los Angeles, because that was at a low point, I would say, in Anthony's life. He probably had shittier jobs in high school or maybe even college, but this is when we were out in Los Angeles. We'd been there for, a year and a half maybe at that point. We had gone to L.A. As interns. At this production company. I ended up getting the job with the production company, and then you were just like bouncing around trying to figure shit out, and Borders, I think, was a low point.
No, that's close. it was like right after, it's like the first job you get after college where you're like, I got a fucking degree to work at Borders Books, like this sucks. But that was the place where I like decided to get into stand-up comedy. Like the book I stole from that store was the book I read to be like, oh, I can do this. I'm going to become a comedian. The worst job I ever had, the most humiliating job ever, was working at this movie theater in L.A. called Arclight Cinemas.
Oh, yeah.
For like 2.5-3 months, where I was good enough at stand-up that I was like on TV, but also having to work this job. Like, you see someone on Late Night with Jimmy Kimmel, you're like, oh, that guy must be rich. You get like $700 or something for that. So it's like, it's not a big deal, but I would be like, here's your popcorn and your Sprite, and they'd be like, you were really funny on Kimmel last night. And that was fucking humiliating. Like, beyond humiliating.
You said our old boss, Wendy Park, used to come in sometimes and like, see you in your uniform, and nothing made you sadder.
That was the worst. To have like the person you used to intern for come and be like, how are things going? Like, this is how it's going. Extra butter is how it's going. That job fucking sucked.
Cool. You want one more?
Yeah, we'll get one more.
Okay. What was the first concert Greg saw?
This motherfucker, I'm gonna like his musical taste
it's
doesn't
impeccable.
Align with mine quite. You listen to music that some people would think is really good. You know, like some people are like, oh, I love music, and you're like, really? Who's your favorite? And they're like, oh, Steely Dan. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Greg's biggest influence, like, he had every single Pavement album ever, and we used to go on these huge road trips where he got to control the music because he had to drive I Can't Drive Stick. So he's literally driven me back and forth across the country multiple times, and always made me listen to Pavement, and I don't like Pavement. So I'm gonna guess that your first concert was Pavement.
No, that's a little before. My second concert was fucking Nirvana, at the Springfield Civic Center, and we saw Kurt Cobain after the show while waiting to get picked up by our parents.
That would have been a great story if the question had been, what was the second concert you've ever been to?
I figure we still got to pad out this hour here. My first concert was They Might Be Giants with opener Frank Black at Smith College. How about that?
Wow, that's pretty cool. You know what my first concert was? Spin Doctors. Yeah. When they played Two Princes, the woman behind me got so excited she jumped up and spilled her beer all over me. And I was like, for fucking Two Princes?
How old were you?
How old was I?
Yeah.
This was like a couple weeks ago. No, I was 8th grade, maybe? Yeah.
I think Anthony won again.
I think he did, too.
I won for sure. You didn't know anything about me, and I know you better than you know yourself. Bless you. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. Woo!
Sitting around in nothing but my Celtics tee. I still hold on to every single thing you ever gave me. I torture myself wondering what you're doing at this moment. Are you thinking about me? My heart aches and you own it.
Did you ever think, like, 10 years after you made that, you'd finally find an audience?
Yeah, seriously.
The fact that there are multiple songs blows my mind.
There's one that's coming up, I think, and it's so bad where I literally was like, I don't even want to be a teacher anymore. I want to rap.
Oh, wait. There's one that's coming up that's not good?
You can't off of
Thanks for
that.
The warning. I don't know what I would have done if one came up that wasn't good and I wasn't prepared for it. Greg, let's get the headlines.
All right.
And these are headlines, guys, that we talked about for 5 minutes last night and really, really put a lot of thought into.
All right. The star of...
And before we do that, if you've never listened to the podcast before, this was supposed to be about sports. Greg works for the NFL. It was supposed to be like we talk about like off the field sports issues, and I got sick of that almost immediately and just wanted to talk about dumb stories. So I don't think we have, do we have anything sports in this one?
We usually do, but we do not today. We are going to start with Little Women LA. I don't know if that's a show that you're familiar with. It's on Bravo. The star of it, Christy Gabel, I believe, has filed for annulment after 5 years of marriage, citing that there was no consummation of the marriage in those 5 years.
So a Little Women LA, I guess, is a show about little people. What are we supposed to call them now? You can't say the M word. Little people, I guess, is the word. There's all different kinds of little people. You know what I mean? They're not all the same size. But I guess this little woman got divorced and said we never had sex once, so it's not a real marriage. It's like a Game of Thrones type thing.
Yeah, she was using him for like credit cards and loans and whatnot. And it was basically just an excuse for you to tell a story about mm-hmm. little people.
This is a story about little people. We don't care about this woman or her problems or the fact that she never had sex with her husband for 5 years. I don't care. What I want to talk about is one time... I was living in New York for a while. And actually, it must have been some sort of Comedy Central thing because I was with a Comedy Central executive who will rename nameless because if I use his name, he loses his goddamn mind. We're talking to this dude, some random guy. And we're like, what do you do? And the guy's like, I am a concierge for rich people, basically. And we're like, that's interesting. Like, what does that mean? He's like, people need things. They call me, and I get them for them. Drugs, pussy. That's probably the two things he gets for people. They wouldn't take us to something like he has connections, he gets it. And the executive I'm with, who's a very cool guy, is like, what's the craziest thing you've ever had to get for someone? And he says, one time a bunch of investment bankers said we were having a party on this rooftop. We want little women. We want like a bunch of little women to roller skate naked around the party the entire time that the party is going on. Like from beginning, if the party is like 8 to question mark, they're skating from 8 to question mark. Naked in a circle. And at the end of the party, we all get to have sex with them. And the guy's like, and did you do it? And he goes, yeah. And I was just like, how? And he said, I just picked up the phone and started making calls. And I was just like, you are the coolest guy in the city of New York. That was my own. Did I have another? Oh.
You had three.
One we can't talk about.
One
was like
involved a former neighbor of ours when we lived in West Hollywood, and Anthony said that was off limits.
Off limits. When she found out I was a comedian or getting into comedy, she was like, She was a neighbor. She was very nice.
She was a friend.
She was a friend. She literally grabbed me by the shirt and put me up against the fucking wall and said, never talk about me on stage. Like, without me, I wasn't like, I've got a funny joke about you. It was just like, you're a comedian, never talk about me. So I was like, that's off limits. Although she did produce porn, which was pretty interesting. She wasn't in it. She just, like, produced it. I read a book called In the Little World about a conference they have once every, like, 5 years in Australia where all the little people in the world go. And they have, like, meetings. They have, like, shit where it's like, oh, we can go talk about this. We'll listen to people. We'll do whatever. And they have entertainment. But it's mostly for people to find their match in life. If you're a little person, your options are limited. Not just in terms of reach, but in terms of who you can spend the rest of your life with. So everyone goes to this thing, and they have like a week to find the person they're going to marry, and then they have to leave again. So the pressure is insane. Everyone's going completely crazy. It would be like if you were in high school, and everyone went through puberty the week before prom. Imagine that sort of like drama, and it was just an amazing book, and everyone's just, it's all just little people crying.
Is this
I
true?
I love that book.
It's a true?
It's true.
Is it true?
It's a lighthearted story
it's a book.
You wanted to share.
It's a book called In the Little World.
Huh.
Yeah. Everyone read that book if you want to hear about little people crying.
All right. Play the song, Erica.
I don't need you in my life. You slow me down. Shit's funny. If you think I'll wait around. Bigger, better things than these here fields. You don't even know me now. You better dear.
I like the way he played music in between each headline just because it provides like a natural sort of edit, but it seems completely unnecessary here.
Erica rapping is the opposite of reparations.
You don't pay me enough for this.
All right, a luxury online marketplace, I believe in the UK, called Hush Hush. So this is like Craigslist for really rich people. Had a post recently where a guy made a posting that after being married for 35 years, his wife left him, and that he can't imagine ever being with another woman, and he wanted someone to make him a really great sex doll of his wife of 35 years. And that he had 150 to 200 pictures that he could use, that he had gone to a number of sex doll places, but they weren't really coming with the quality that he was looking for.
This fascinates me. Because I want to know, 35 years, that means she must have been like late 50s at best. Do you want that version of your wife? Or are you going for like an early 20s version? You know what I mean? Yeah, everyone, people are like making noises in the crowd. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There are different, like, no one's going to be like, hey, get me a sex doll of my wife right after she had the baby. You know what I mean? No one's going to do that. Get mad if you want to. You know what kind of sex doll you want. I just think that, like, who would believe him? If it, like, if she died and he was like, I want a sex doll of my dead wife, everyone would understand, you know? You'd be like, yeah, of course. You want to have sex with your wife's corpse, but but you don't want to deal with the maintenance. You know what I mean? That would make sense. But to be like, my wife left me, you're beating up that sex doll. That's not so much a sex doll as like a punching bag, maybe an effigy that you hang and kind of like tap as you walk by it into the kitchen. Do you know what I mean? I just don't believe he actually wants to have sex with his ex-wife.
Why
as
not?
A sex doll.
I mean, I've been married a long time and I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm pushing back against the version that you're saying that you would want the doll from very early in the relationship.
We have
I'm
15 minutes left. I want you to talk about this for the rest of the time. I want to see how deep you can dig this hole. Because your wife, who has not heard this yet, is mad right now. She's back in LA just like, what the fuck did he just say?
I just wonder, like, what happened to just good old-fashioned, like, sadly masturbating and thinking about your ex-girlfriend? Like old
it's like
times.
My dad. Like, don't say shit like that. Not this my dad. Greg!
Does your dad say... Hey, Dad, happy Father's Day. What'd you do? Well, Erica, I sadly masturbated. You know, dad stuff.
I meant Greg is like my dad, and he's like saying stuff like sadly masturbating. It's upsetting.
I heard exactly what you said. And I think my comment was on point.
Hit the song.
No, keep going.
Yeah, well, if your wife left you...
Okay.
Your wife leaves you. She takes the kids. I'm godfather to both of Greg's kids. Wonderful children. Would you get dolls made of all of them? You know what I mean? Like, you're obviously not going to have sex with the ones that are your kids. But if you have the wife doll, it would be weird if the kids aren't around. Do you know what I mean? I feel like you would complete the set, you know?
Like, make sure they're asleep before you're with the one?
You could close their eyes every night.
Jump in my Jeep and let's go for a cruise. Try to put me down. Damn it, I don't bruise. I'll be flying on my jet while you'll be taking a snooze. Yeah, I'm living the life. Let me give you a clue.
I'm sorry, guys.
The amount of work you put into that is ridiculous.
All right, this is the last headline. We will have recommendation station after that, and if we have time, maybe a couple questions.
Don't give it away.
Okay. A Phoenix man beat a 40-year-old father beat a 26-year-old man to death after the 26-year-old tried to barge in on the father's daughter in a convenience store bathroom. And he beat the man to death.
Okay, so...
And has been arrested.
A little girl was in the bathroom. A 26-year-old man walked in. Did assaulted her or just walked in?
He tried to, and then there was screaming, and it was broken.
And
up.
So
yes,
the dad came in
her.
And
he
beat this guy
her.
To death. I like it when you can beat someone to death and everyone's cool with it. And it really is only that situation. Like, in war, sure. You know, but like if someone goes in, walks into the bathroom with your daughter, you are allowed to beat them to death, and everyone's like super cool with it. Like he's a hero.
Like we think that, but the law does not think that.
The law's charging him with what?
They are with murder. That's what they call it. Yeah. I was wondering where you were going with this story, but yeah, they. Because it appears the man was a homeless man. He was walking out by the time the dad heard of this. He heard about what happened and then just kind of beat the living shit out of him.
He's going to serve 20 minutes where they just clap for him. Like, there's no way he's actually going to jail. I remember, like, a couple years ago, there was a 911 call where a guy calls and very calmly tells the 911 operator that he just beat a man to death. Because he caught him molesting his son. Like, the guy was molesting his son or his grandson. And he was like, I beat him to death. Come get him. And they were like, how did you do it? And he said, with my hands and my feet. And they were like, okay, we'll be right there. Like, the woman wasn't concerned. She was just like, yeah, good on you. That I think, I just love stories of people getting beaten to death with no consequences. I think it's like, I don't have kids, but if I did, I would just be like, I hope this gets to happen to me. It just seems like a perk. Like, I beat a guy to death, that's crazy. No, I've got kids. Right? Like, what would you do? Okay, your beautiful daughter, Listen, if I was with Greg's daughter, if I took Greg's daughter somewhere and she was in the bathroom and I heard yelling, I would beat everyone in the convenience store to death.
To John Wick style?
Of course. You know my style. It's John Wick style. I would kill everyone, including your daughter. Because I wouldn't want her traumatized by what she'd seen. And now it's time for
choo-choo
recommendation station. Greg and I, and sometimes Erica, like to recommend things to people, movies, books, TV shows. Usually books, I think, is what we're most known for. I'm going to go first, and I'm going to recommend one of my favorite Elmore Leonard novels. If you guys ever watched the show Justified, saw the movie Out of Sight, Jackie Brown, these are movies and TV shows that are based on Elmore Leonard's work. He's a great pulp author. He's dead. That doesn't diminish his work in any way. And Swag is one of my favorite novels of his. If you like Elmore Leonard or you just like me and you want to be like me, read Swag by Elmore Leonard, one of his best works. Greg, what do you got?
I am going to make a Clusterfest influenced recommendation today and say everyone here should go see Courtney Barnett later today, who is one of my favorite rock musicians. She's like a young Australian woman who, if you haven't seen her live, like I love her CDs, but if you haven't seen her live, she shreds.
CDs?
Is like amazing. Albums, whatever you want to call it.
I have her on tape. Like, what?
Erica's getting feisty.
Courtney is playing, I think, at the same time as Anthony's appearance on some podcast.
No.
But
it's
like,
at the same time as
I'm
day. Performing. It's like he's recommending the one thing that keeps you from seeing me.
But she's amazing, and everyone should see her.
I'm amazing. Everyone should see me.
Are we letting Erica do one? Come on.
No, don't.
Erica, recommend something.
I don't have anything. I'm too hungover because I tried to keep up with you last night, and I can't even think, so I guess I'll just do this.
That's the most Erica fucking thing ever. Is, oh, Erica, do your job. No, I'm going to take a selfie.
Yeah, I recommend, you know, having fun. Fun's fun, you know? Go have fun.
Stop talking.
Have fun. Go have fun, you know? Live your life.
Holy shit.
All right, are you going to go around with a mic? I think we have time to take
a few
questions.
Yeah, we got 6 minutes. Do we have any fan questions?
5 minutes. We'll take some fan questions. Just raise your hand. No one's going to... Yeah.
Anyone. Okay. Coming out.
Erica, you should just have them yell the question and then repeat it instead of doing what you're doing.
That was a good idea.
When am I releasing my album on iTunes?
Oh. Thank you.
We are going to edit that out. But I do wonder if you did release that album on iTunes, would it kick off the race war?
Yeah,
because like, Erica, you're not racist now, but like a 16-year-old in New Hampshire, just by like dint of being there, you would have had to be a little racist.
Why?
I can't believe what just happened. I believe that Erica has zero racism in her whatsoever.
Why is this being talked about?
Because of how bad you rap. It sounds like you're making fun of African Americans. It would be like if you dressed up like a Native American for Halloween, went to a Halloween party, said, hey, everyone, look at me, and then shot yourself. That's what listening to her rap is like.
You know, You got a lot of nerve.
Yeah, I'm famous for it.
Over there.
Yes. If I could be asked any question, what would it be and what's the answer? You just did it, buddy. Yes. Why is Greg making me pancakes on the cover of our... it is a tribute to one of our favorite album covers, both of us. It's Bulletproof Wallets by Ghostface Killah and Raekwon, where they are inexplicably sitting at a table with Ghostface Killah making fish, but they wouldn't. The Comedy Central wouldn't let us use fish because they said that we might get sued. So it's pancakes, and Greg is in a robe. But we tried to recreate the cover as well as we could because we thought it was just so goddamn
and I'm
ridiculous.
Racist.
We were paying homage.
There's nothing racist about an homage to two of our favorite rappers.
It was one of my favorite memories of our entire friendship was getting fitted without a shirt on into like a robe and dressing up as Ghostface Killah. And I got to keep the jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't wear it too much, but I got to keep
it. It was plastic, but yeah, he got to keep it. The thing I like most about the cover is that when they show it on, the way they like crop the photo so it shows up on Twitter, is like my face. And then since Greg's standing next to me, it's just Greg's chest hair. Like they didn't want Greg's face in the picture. It wasn't that important. It's got to be me. And then just Greg's chest. And Greg has like a real job where he has to try to get people to respect him. And then this is our cover that Greg...
Comedy Central wanted you in the robe because it's kind of out front. It's the ghost face. You're playing the Raekwon role. Mm-hmm. But you insisted that you weren't doing the podcast unless I was in a robe.
Yeah. Because I knew it was like a funny idea that would eventually become humiliating. And so I got you to do it.
It took like 2 weeks.
Yeah. One more question. Yes. You watching Deadwood now because of me? Not a question. Do I always talk like this without a mic too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is how I talk, and my entire family talks like this. It's not an accent. We all just talk like this. Any new themes for season two of the podcast? You think we had a theme to this one?
We're just trying to get there. Whoever's in the crowd, like, support it.
Yeah, we just, like, sit down and talk, and we can't believe that anyone listens to it at all. There is no theme. It's just like, what do I feel like doing an hour before the show? One more question, and then we're going to get out of here. Yeah. If I could sucker punch one person dead or alive, who would it be? That's a good one.
I'd go John Wetland, the former Major League Baseball pitcher.
You love talking about sucker punching John Wetland.
We got a couple listeners.
I would punch a sex doll of Greg's wife. Erica, how about you? What would you... if you could sucker punch anyone, dead or alive?
It'd be you.
Yeah, I figured. Erica, since we've been so hard on you, why don't you do the sign off and we will get out of here and let you guys enjoy the rest of your festival.
Why don't you guys help me out?
Actually, you know what? Before we go, I want to say one thing. I've not seen it yet, but I heard that out front there is a tribute to Brody Stevens outside that you can sign, you can color on, you can be a part of it. I suggest that everyone go and I don't know, mark the occasion. Brody was a great guy, and I'm very happy that Comedy Central's put that together for us. Go check it out.
I say we have the audience here. Who knows it?
Who knows the sign-off? All right. We'll let you guys do it. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.
Thank you, guys.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.